Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Better late than never, or better early than never.
Better on time.
Good luck in prison. Welcome to Sports Talk on a Wednesday. I feel like I need a nap. Is that possible to do during a radio show without anybody noticing? Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, a lot of focus on the Blazers' first game with Carmelo. Yet we were denied a first game with Pau Gasol. He's done. That's it. He's been injured and announced that he's asked for and got his release, been waived. And I was joking on Twitter that I don't think since he signed we spent more than 7 or 9 minutes even talking about what his role would be, or it just didn't seem to be a centerpiece of our discussion. I mean, we kind of went from them losing in the conference finals to the offseason. You know, a lot happened in the NBA with the trades and the injuries and more substantial signings for Portland. But Melo, 4-14. I want a burger, which is troubling because I don't eat meat. And I don't know why that was actually on the table. 4-14, he did hit 2 of 3 from downtown, which means he was 2 of 11 from inside the arc, which is also somewhat troubling. In just the mellowest fashion, he didn't have an assist, but he did turn it over 5 times. And he did have the worst plus-minus on the floor by double. Bazemore should be Bazeless with the contributions he's making, was minus 10. But they call me Mellow Yellow, minus 20. Some good games tonight. I want to actually get to some association. The news about James Wiseman, the Memphis freshman, who a lot of people think will be the first pick in the June draft, played against against the Ducks for Memphis, and now, because of this whole suspended, he was suspended, then he was ruled ineligible, then he was ruled eligible, and then they got a judge to issue a restraining order. He actually played in the big national game last week against Oregon. Then he withdrew his lawsuit and then filed for reinstatement. Wow. That's a lot. So the NCAA has said, yeah, you could play, but you're going to get a 12-game suspension. So he missed one. So he'll be back in there against the Bulls of South Florida on January 12th. So if they had just gone through the process and not played him yet, he would be just a little over halfway through. But anyway, so if you don't know the story, current Memphis coach, Anfernee Hardaway, was the head coach at East High School out of Tennessee. He ran the Team Penny grassroots program. Wiseman played for Team Penny, enrolled at East High School. That doesn't sound right. Shouldn't it be like East Side High School or there's South Eugene High School or...
Named after a person?
Yeah. Well, it's just, was it named after Al High? I mean, it went to East High School. It's just, it's not making any sense. And it also has no bearing on anything I was saying, so who freaking cares? So, Wiseman...
Tannenism.
Wiseman committed to Memphis over Kentucky last November. And if you remember at the time, Penny Hardaway all of a sudden was bringing in the number one ranked recruiting class at Memphis. And do you remember thinking how strange it was that Hugh Freeze was landing these really highly touted recruiting classes for football at Mississippi? And you're thinking, Mississippi, huh? Not Alabama or LSU or Georgia or Florida or, I don't know, any other program in the SEC except for maybe Mississippi State and Vandy. I mean, historically, they've all been 1,000 times more substantial. And now all of a sudden it's like, so Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, hell, Oregon has been to a Final Four in the last couple of years. It's got a better rep than Memphis, Arizona, UCLA, Gonzaga. George Mason has made a Final Four. Well, 2 years apart, I guess Memphis did go to the final game in 08.
What about like UMBC? They're the 16 seed that beat the one. Do they have a better rep than Memphis going into this season?
Memphis had kind of fallen. Memphis once upon a time with guys like Keith Lee had a pretty... I think Memphis played one of the wooden UCLA dynasty teams in maybe 69 or something when they were called Memphis State. But anyway, then, you know, like I mentioned, 2008 with Derrick Rose, coached by then Gian Calipari. Oh, John Calipari is your coach. But then, all right, now I got to know. And you know me, I got the thought in my head. The seed's been planted. Obsession Jones takes over. And now I got to find out. So you got that going for you, which is nice. 69.
Tannenism.
Bruins beat Perdon in 1970s Jacksonville. 71, I think, was Villanova. Yeah, 72, Walton's gang. I'm ruining everything. Maybe it was 73. Maybe it was the last. Yeah, that was it. It was 1973 when they beat Memphis. So Memphis landing the number one recruiting class, should that have sent up more red flags? That's, I guess that was the longest way to get around. It took me 6 minutes to ask a 45-second question. So, yeah, they played for all the marbles in 08 when Calipari was coach. Memphis did. And you had the Mario Chalmers. I mean, they had gone under Calipari. Elite Eight, Final Two, Sweet 16. He left for Kentucky. Josh Pastner stepped in. They had some good teams. They went 31-5 their last year in Conference USA. And then I'll tell you the truth. I totally forgot Tubby Smith was their coach before Little Penny, that's Tyra Banks, fool, stepped in. But The part here where, yeah, you get the suspensions, but now they're saying, and you've got to pay back that loan, $11,500 that your mom accepted from Penny, and donate it to a charity of choice. And it's like, okay, so obviously not a lot of economic majors involved here. So here's a family that had to borrow money, apparently illegally, causing a violation
Well, they might not have illegally borrowed money, but it was an NCAA violation amount of, or it was, it's, I don't, well, the legality of the money being borrowed, I guess, is a different question.
It's a violation.
But it's a violation of what the NCAA determined to be illegal. Like, I think literally, a you know, Penny giving the family money, being like, hey, guys.
Right, right. It's not against the law.
Right. Like that, hey, I helped, the family. Right. The NCAA said this is illegal to us. Now take that money and donate it to a charity because we can't fine you as a student athlete who is technically not paid.
Yeah, you know, in the real world, if you would have heard about a young college coach helping out a family in need and paying the money out of his pocket, you'd be like, aw.
Yeah,
isn't that adorable?
That's a feature on College Game Day about how great this coach is, and we're here at
right.
the pro. It's a celebration, but when it's done to a kid who just so happens to be a very highly recruited college
and
prospect.
And you're
going to
come play where I coach?
Right, and then he eventually, right, yeah, that's where the NCAA is like, I got a little too much.
But it doesn't change the fact that I doubt the family in 2 years has gone from I have to borrow $11,500 to I have an extra $11,500 laying around. Although, who knows? Maybe the mom took the $11,500, bought a savings bond, put it under the bed, and, you know, just scraped together the first and last month's rent and was like, yeah, I got it here. We're good. Write it to the charity. Can my kid play now? All right. I said, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't be happy if somebody came up to me right now and said, I'm going to need you to pay back $11,500. I'll tell you what. I better get a mid-sized sedan with under 50,000 miles that I could drive for 6 years.
That's a very good point. Also, Penny Hardaway skating by suspiciously clean through all of this as well. Like, he's not at fault.
Yeah, you know, that's really strange. Is it because he wasn't the coach yet? I mean,
if you can punish a player doing something before he was in the NCAA, and you're not going to punish the booster, which is what Penny Hardaway was at the time. I don't know if you can punish boosters in general for illegal funding or whatever, but like, how is nothing happening to Penny Hardaway?
That's interesting because if there was a kid living in Nashville now and he was found to have paid his family's living expenses to move to Memphis so they could be near him and he signed to play with the Tigers, that's absolutely a violation.
Right.
It's like Spicoli's new schedule. It's all totally confusing. All right.
I mean, at that point, Penny should pay off Wiseman's fine.
Yeah,
just be like, hey, here's another $11,500. It's a blank check. Okay, James, you just signed your JW there. Perfect. Goes to charity. Just make sure you hit me back with that when you sign your $40 million deal in April.
So, and there's, I can't come up, normally I'm pretty good with this. How do we morph the nickname Penny into multiple thousands of dollars because Penny's not applicable anymore? It's too easy. I can't come up with a good one. You guys, I need you here. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injections hotline, or you can hit us up on the text line, 3210824. Try us on Twitter at 953thescore. Or for the show at Sports Talk 953, or for Nick at Rick Nodger. Somebody wants to know if the parents took the money and invested it in Bitcoin.
We could call him 1,150,000 Penny Hardaway.
Oh, did you just do the math to
figure out
how much that was?
I did, yes.
How much is that again?
1,150,000 pennies.
All right. That's better than anything I've come up with.
Million Penny Hardaway. Million Hardaway.
By the way, if somebody told you, give me an accurate description of what Bitcoin is, would you be in the same boat I am, sinking, taking on water? Well, I like when somebody calls it cryptocurrency. Yeah. Oh, great. Thanks. That's real helpful there. A decentralized digital currency, no bank, I'm out. I need FDIC or you ain't getting a dime of my money. Not one thin dime will you people be getting from me. Pau Gasol waived by the Blazers. Miles Garrett Miles. You want to know the truth? I'm so confused I forget his name now.
What do you think it
Miles
is,
Garrett.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Did you just check your notes? Is that why you knew?
Well, I looked at the headline, and they would never, unless it was Madonna, they wouldn't just give the guy's first name, and they only used one name.
It's a very, Miles Garrett is a very subtle two-first-name name.
Yeah, it works both ways. We know a lot of people named Miles, a lot of people named Garrett.
Right.
You don't know a lot of people with the first name Garrett. Actually, the first name Garrett sounds kind of like upper country club snooty. Oh, Garrett and Muffy are coming over for dinner.
Guy
shall
who's
we
too
poison
good to be
their
called
wine?
Gareth.
What?
Guy who's too good to be called Gareth. Garrett.
Hmm. Yeah, when you get into names like that, it's I don't like it. Somebody says the nickname should be not One Penny Hardaway. That's not bad.
Many Penny Hardaway.
Well, the secretary of James Bond, her name was Moneypenny. So maybe there's a play in there. Hunsky Hardaway. All right. Well done there. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Tonight's at... Are we getting... Maction or something like that tonight? I think we are.
Is it happening?
It might be. Is it an ACC game tonight? Did I see Louisville might be playing?
Louisville! Toledo-Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay, yeah. At the bottom of the hour, Akron, the Zips, and the place where, what's his face played? The Redbirds, Miami of Ohio. It's a doubleheader of Maction. The Rockets of Toledo and Buffalo. Ooh, might want to get some late action by the time. You know what I realize? Every time I make a bet on air, I lose. My two big bets I've made in the privacy of my own home, locked in a closet. So, is it? Is my jinx only through this microphone?
Yes, it has to be. Because you're a genius when it up on press row, whether it's go ahead and kick it off the upright, bleep bleep, where you yelled at the Colorado kid for no good reason to kick his field goal off the upright.
And he did.
You called the flea flicker, albeit a half too late, but whatever. You still call a quarter
I did.
Too late.
Before it happened, I said, I'm looking for the double reverse flea flicker.
I would like to know your sources as to how many practices you were actually at this week where you saw the game tape and you knew it was going to be coming. It's the microphone.
It's this mic. I'm just going to switch mics.
I wonder if that microphone would actually be better for
I could
you.
Just change the dust covers. Nah, I think it's the actual
it's
microphone.
It's
got to
be the microphone.
Because once it gets out into the world through here, something bad seems to happen. I was and I had something great happen, and I chickened out because I'm a putz. When I said on air sometime in, I think, late August, you know what? I was reading that the Washington Nationals are 18-1 to win the World Series. I really think they're going to get in, and when that pitching, they've got a chance. I should, and I think I said after this during a break, I should just throw $100 in my account and bet them to win the World Series.
No, your kids or somebody was going to Vegas.
That was it. That was it.
And
but then I also thought,
well, yeah, you still could have bet online as well, very easily.
There's $1,800 I'm never going to have.
What are you feeling tonight in the NBA, the NHL? Anything you want to throw action on that I can throw the
opposite
action?
Of?
Yeah.
There's some good NBA action tonight. I actually might be able to help you out here. The later games, actually, Rockets-Nuggets and Celtics-Clippers are two good games. In my mind, I've convinced myself the Celtics are the best team in the East. So you got that going for you. And I'm just feeling that the Rockets are due for one of those brickathon games, and they're going to struggle at Denver and just lay in the point and a half. So my call would be take the Nuggets and lay the point and a half, bet the over in that game, and take the Celtics plus 7.5.
Well, I made my own parlay earlier today. It has none of those three teams, but I'm not going to talk about it because apparently these airwaves and these microphones are cursed.
Jinxed! Jinxed! You just are bad luck. You are a very bad man. Jenny, you are... Where are people? There are no people! All right.
Ben Simmons hit a three in an actual NBA game as well just now.
Really?
His first one.
Nice. All right, so I'm more leaning... No, I like Denver laying the points, and I like the Celtics with the points. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm not saying I'm betting it. I'm not saying I'm not betting it.
Tannenism.
All right, before we break, I want to remind you, we've got another sweet deal of the week that's going to be on sale Friday. I actually got inspired when I read this, and I did takeout from Cornucopia last night. They've got three locations. The one I went to, 17th Street. There's another one, 5th Avenue downtown. And the new one on Main Street in Springfield. And it'll be on sale at 9 o'clock this Friday. You can go down, eat, drink. They've got one of the things that somebody who's a non-meat eater loves about Cornucopia is you got a lot of options. All their legendary burgers you could just substitute a burger for, and you could order online. You could drop by the new location, Cornucopia Springfield. Check it out online, cornucopiaeugene.com. They got full service bar, selection of wine, great Frosties on tap. And there our sweet deal of the week. $25 gets you $50 to spend at Cornucopia. Go to our website, 953thescore.com. All right, break time. Come back. We'll have an update. We'll have more sports talk. A little college football, a little NFL. Yeah, we'll head for the gridiron after this. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
The committee's charge through this being week 12 of the season or week 3 of the rankings is to rank the teams based on performance through this week. And obviously we saw the game, we saw the injury late in the second quarter, but Alabama still had a convincing win against Mississippi State. Through week 12, you know, Alabama is still ranked number 5.
Greenbow, Alabama! That was our own Rob Mullins talking about how they evaluated Bama. I guess our maybe. No. Welcome back, Sports Talk 95.3, The Score, Wednesday edition. Every once in a while, I get caught up in the math. If you're a regular, you'll hear me say, wow, hard to believe the college football season starts in 26 days. And it'd be like, well, that's kind of real. The college football regular season ends in 10 days. 10 days! Free pancakes! So, why does that fit in so perfectly to almost everything? Like, it's first of all, who doesn't like pancakes and who doesn't like free stuff? So it's kind of a double-edged, it's like a double-edged butter knife. It's not even a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged thing of beauty. I know it's not a hockey hotbed, but Mike Babcock was fired as coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we always joke about, you know, the worst franchises in the sports we follow. The Maple Leafs are in the running. Because they are, now that, you know, the Astros won one, the Cubbies won one, you know, we've seen the curse of the Bambino, the White Sox, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm just trying to think. You're into, when you get into 50 plus years, that's a long time. And is that the Toronto? They shouldn't be allowed to have one. What are you celebrating? You're crap poop. Oh, it is? Just keep talking about them. So they've, in the last 6 years, they've had 3 100-point seasons, but they never made it out of the first round. And, you know, Babcock did something that made it appear like he would be a very good, very successful coach. He took over the Detroit Red Wings, who for them at the time hadn't won in a while, and he won a Stanley Cup. Then they soured on him a little bit because first, the greatest coach the NHL has known, Scotty Bowman, piloted them to a third Stanley Cup. They won in 97, 98 back-to-back, and then 2002. He left his protege, who the hell was it? Dave Lewis took over, and you know, they were still good. I mean, this is back in the days when El Capitan, Stevie Y, Steve Yzerman, was still their, one of their top guns. But then Babcock took over, and they finished with the President's Cup, and which means they had the best regular season, the most points. And they got upset by Edmonton in the first round, and people were like, well, we don't like him. But then they made it all the way to the West Finals before they lost to the Anaheim, and then they won it. You know, by this time, Stevie Y was out. Their Hall of Fame captain was Nicklas Lidström, and Babcock was the coach. And then then they started to go south. I think the Red Wings had one of those long streaks. You know, you saw the Bruins did it for like 30-some-odd years. You saw it with, like, North Carolina made the tournament for like 31 straight years. And then all of a sudden, the Detroit Red Wings were out of the playoffs. I forget what year was it. Was it 2 years ago?
Three.
Yeah, it was 2017. And, you know, Babcock was gone. And then he took over Toronto, who actually was considered among the East favorites in recent years. For them to at least make, the East Finals wouldn't have been looked at like, wow, that was a miracle.
No, they're really good. They have Austin Matthews, who's an incredible young talent. They built around him. They signed Jonathan Tavares. They've got a couple other like big name guys that they had trouble dealing with because they didn't want to sign him. Will Nylander and there's another guy's name I can't remember right now. But it's like all of these good things were happening, and then there was like Mike Babcock almost defiantly causing Toronto to not win because he wasn't adapting with the times, and like they just kept running into Boston in the playoffs.
Yeah, 2 years in a row they lost the seventh game to the Bruins. The first year they lost in six, and so it's first round. Now they're sub .500, and now he doesn't have a job anymore.
He went 8 playoff games in 5 years in Toronto, and I'm surprised it took him this long.
He's out of the contest. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, feel free to hit us up and join in the fray. Text us 321-0824. Every time hockey comes up or the Red Wings come up, we've got a trio out there who will always respond. And, hey, for a while, even for Eugene, it's a little before Nick's time, early 2000s through, you know, the last, I would say, going back more than 5 years, you would actually see Detroit Red Wing gear around town. Probably as a matter of fact, without question, the most prominent team NHL gear in the town of Eugene. No question about it. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in George. George, good afternoon. How's it going?
Things are well, Steve. Thank you. To change the subject from hockey, and I watch maybe 5 minutes of hockey a year, but I happen to be watching the game where the guy said, "You fat pig, have another donut."
Wow, that's like 32 years ago.
And, yeah, I can barely remember it, but I do. Anyway, the Oregon women's basketball team, I understand they had an excellent recruiting class, and I was wondering what you might be able to tell us about that.
All right. I appreciate the call. Better than me telling you about it, we had Kelly Graves on Monday, who told us all about it. Five stars. And one of the things that was really important was a couple of bigs, because with Ruthie Hebert leaving, obviously, you're going to need to replace somebody who has just been an interior force, is going to be, you know, between Sabrina and Hebert, what are they going to probably be, two of the top five or six picks? The one from Illinois, Angela Dugalich, and I thought what Coach brought up was interesting, because I was kind of focused on their stats, their size, what position they played, who they'd be replacing. Four of the five led their high school teams to the state title. The other one played for it. So she went to Maine West High, and she's just got a silly skill set. She's 6'4", but like what we've seen Satu Sabali evolve into, able to finish at the bucket with either hand. She could also hit a jumper. She could also hit from downtown, and has a great passing ability, and apparently is like really unselfish. And I watched the end of her high school championship game, and what I found interesting was, you know, the game ends, she's still a high schooler, and it's in Illinois, so pretty big time, major city, and she gets interviewed, and it's amazing how this wave, and I would count Sabrina at the start of that wave, where everything's on TV. They're always used to having a microphone, the media coverage, social media, posting videos, posting audio. And she just got interviewed like, you know, Kobe just finished the game. And that's to me been really interesting to follow. They've got another guard out of Indiana. Again, Justin, she's supposed to be just a deadly sniper. Maddie Scher out of Kentucky, the 2019 State Gatorade Player of the Year. That championship they won was the first one ever. First team All-State MVP of the tournament. A two-way guard who could also post up. And who's the other big we were talking about? Was it Kylie Watson, I think? Yeah, and by the way, South Jersey, a Jersey girl, so that counts. And she is a top-flight rebounder. She is more of what I would call a traditional big, who's just defends, plays around the bucket, scores inside, strong, physical, and you know, they're five stars. What the heck more could you ask for? It's crazy. Who was it? There was something beyond. It was a Twitter conversation I was having, where I think it was Carl Lawson got involved, and it had to do when before. Okay, so Oregon was narrowing their search down. And she said something along the lines of, and remember when this is said, if Oregon hires Kelly Graves, there's a possibility to build a UConn West. And I remember got back and, you know, she wouldn't know me from Adam. I'm like, really? I mean that in all sincerity. Okay. Well, when you get to an Elite Eight, and a Final Four, and you're number one, and you get a five-star recruiting class of five players, I think that's kind of how that's built.
And the whole beating Team USA thing is also
right,
kind of
right,
big.
Right. No, it's it was a really bold statement where, and by the way, you still have to win multiple national championships in order to really be named in the same breath. But the key is to not just get a killer class with Satu and Sabrina and Ruthie. And, obviously Maite left. They'll always look back on her recruitment as critical because of what she meant to the program, an NBA, a WNBA player. But when they leave and all of a sudden the five of the top 17 or 18 players in the country are coming to one school, the logic of not dropping off. And we also don't know what's going to become of Satu. I think age-wise she might be eligible for the draft. Will she hang around and team up with Giomi and Taylor Chavez and some of the the great players who will be returning next year. All right, so that was the answer. I hope I've been helpful. As everybody knows, Wednesday means yay day around here. So before we move it along or alter the subject, we'll take a break. You'll hear from our buddy Megan at Green Hill, and we'll be back with the home stretch of Sports Talk in the 4 o'clock hour next. 95.3 The Score. Okay, another Wednesday has arrived. Of course, we like to refer to it as Yay Day here in the studio. Megan from Green Hill joins us. How's life treating you these days, Megs?
Awesome. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Normally, I like to start with the doggy, but you guys have had so much going on at Green Hill, the new facility. So what's it been, about 6 months or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, we moved in July 1st was our grand opening, so it's about 5 months. Five
and all is going well?
It's awesome. We've already started on phase two of our new veterinary clinic.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Construction's underway for that. That's the final leg of the 10-year process of making this happen, but it's going to be well worth it. We'll be able to give even higher quality of care to the animals. We'll have our own x-ray resources.
Oh, wow. Everything on site?
Absolutely. Cool. More surgery options, bigger surgery options, and our own pharmacy. And this is just going to enable us to care for more animals throughout the year.
All right. Phantom is here. And you have, we've had a series of smiley doggies, but this one seems to be a tad exceptional.
Yeah, this one has kind of stolen my heart a lot. Phantom is one of those dogs that is just, he's ready to make someone so happy. He is a kind of perfect, but don't quote me on that. he's 7 years old. He's a gentleman. He's very lovely. He's calm demeanor, but still loves outside activity. He loves hikes and runs, and he loves to snuggle. And he's kind of starting to wrap most of our staff and volunteers in the kennel around his paw because
he
loves
awesome.
To snuggle.
And what kind of doggy is he? Because the coloring and the markings, I mean, he's very distinguished.
Yes, yes, he is gentlemanly. I would say he's red and white, and the reason I think that they named him, he came from another shelter, so we don't know his history, but it's been very obvious that he's been loved and cared for and given proper training. His face is part white on one side and then red on the other. He's a pit mix, but who knows what he's mixed with? It's pretty interesting.
Amazing.
He has beautiful long ears. I would even just guess, like Whippet or something kind of slender and long.
Like that, yeah.
But overall, he's just a love and wants to please his humans and has just his demeanor in the shelter has been nothing but just kind and gentle.
It's like he gets it.
He gets it. He's ready and he's definitely ready. He got in my car and just sat very nicely. He tried to snuggle me and I had to, let him know that later. Not while I'm driving.
Right.
But what a kind, sweet dog. And if a family has kids that can be respectful, just make sure not jump on him or anything
right.
I think he would make an amazing family dog. And there's potential. They don't know if he has a history with cats, but he has a lot of potential just from his demeanor that he could possibly live in a house respectful with a lot of introductions,
right,
et cetera, and training.
And as always, for folks who are listening and thinking, this dog in particular would be awesome, but we're also all about finding the pets their forever home. Take us through the process.
That's right. Check out our website, green-hill.org. See all of our available animals. See Who looks like a better fit for your family? You know, think about activity level. Think about what kind of training you're ready to give, because a lot of our dogs, especially dogs, you know, just need a little extra extra love because they've been waiting for a while.
Right.
And then come on down. If you have a dog already, feel free to bring that dog. And we, if it's a good fit, we would do an introduction.
Sure.
And then you go through a counseling process with our cattery staff, our kennel staff, or small animal staff to make sure it is a good fit, that everyone's expectations are known.
Right.
And then we go through the adoption process, and there's an adoption fee, and all that money goes directly to the care for the animals.
And again, the website is green-hill.org. On Twitter, it's at Green Hill Humane. And she is Megan, and this is one of my favorite times of the week. It's always great seeing you.
It's truly my pleasure. Thank you so much.
They can sure get to you. Adopt. Give a pet its forever home. Be one of the best things you ever did. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. More sports talk comes your way. 95.3 The Score.
Riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
The way the committee is viewing Oregon's loss to Auburn is a good loss. They are actually rewarding Oregon for playing that game and saying at the same time, Utah didn't do that. Utah didn't schedule that kind of opponent. And when you look at that game and how it unfolded against Auburn, Oregon was in really good shape. They lost by the nose of a football is what it boils down to.
Heather Dinich, ESPN, talking about the edge Oregon has over Utah. She also left out the fact that there's kind of one big common opponent where Utah got beat at Southern Cal, and Oregon blew Southern Cal's doors off at Southern Cal. So, you got that going for you, which is nice. Welcome back.
Tannenism.
Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. One of the conversations I was paying attention to today, so they were talking on Sneaky and Tierney about the legitimacy of the Lakers, who have the NBA's best record. I don't know where that one came from. I don't think I've ever used that one before. And I have no reason to assume he is sneaky, but sometimes the phrase fits. So do you buy into the Lakers as a championship contender? And I was like, well, first of all, there's no great team. If you had to bet over under, I'll make it a half. How many teams you think will win 60 games this year? I'll give you a hint. Last year, how many teams you think won 60 games? One. And they won 60. It was the Bucs. And they didn't make it out of the conference playoffs. So you look around the league now with the way, you know, Golden State via injuries to Thompson and Curry to Kevin Durant getting hurt and leaving, Boogie Cousins. He got injure hurt. So, you know, they're done. The champs lost Kawhi. The Torontons are actually playing pretty well at 9-4. I mean, what do you make of Boston? I know they got Gordo Hayward's out for a while. I don't think they could have expected more from Kemba Walker. He's been better than advertised. I mean, he's averaging 23 a game. You know, you get he and Marcus Smart, who also are good at distributing the rock. You have now old man Jason Tatum, who at 21 years old is scoring 20 a game. Jaylen Brown, who will be applying for Social Security soon at age 23, he scores 19. You know, Hayward out a month with a broken hand is a very unselfish player. They're also a really good rebounding team. you know, a staple of Brad Stevens from his days at Butler at the collegiate level was guards to the glass, don't allow second chance points. And the one thing I really like, I said like in this Boston Celtic team in the same sentence. I need some water. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. I can't have this. All right, I'm better now. They treasure possession. They're the only team in the NBA that has a better than 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. I'm telling you, over the course of a season, that's wins. That's 5-6 wins. A couple of years ago, you know, they rolled the dice. They went on the international scene. They brought in Danny Theis from Germany. The thing is, they do lack what you would call a more traditional, a more true quality big. But this guy's got one of those crazy rebounds per minutes. You know, they've got, I forgot Enes Kanter ended up there. But he's got a 4-5 DNP coach's decision. And remember, they took a Taco Fall. They took a roll on the 7'5" dude from Central Florida, but they had him up. He played a game. He went with the Maine. I forget what they are. It's something very Maine-ish, like the Rock Lobsters or the Snow Claws or something like that. Well, anyway, he's in the G League. By the way, look at you knowing a song older than 1994. You all better now?
My parents played
it's a rock. It's a rock. A rock lobster. Down, down.
Parents had a lot of like late 80s, early 90s rock, and I think they played...
That was late 70s, early 80s.
Oh my, that B-52's?
B-52's Rock Lobster. Okay. That might be like 80 or 79.
I don't know what album it was on, but my parents, it might have been like a best hits album or something, but my parents just played it all the time. So Rock Lobster and Love Shack, I knew like all the words to.
Love Shack was a little later.
Love Shack, baby.
Rock Lobster came out in 1978 while I was still in high school, and it was a kick ass. That was one of the songs who, like, if all of a sudden the party started to die down, that was it. Put that on and everybody got up and boogied. All right.
Boogied.
Let's.
You really are 900 years
old. It's the 70s, man. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. 5 o'clock hours next. 95.3 The Score.
What the hell's going on out here?